Our reading this morning is from Ephesians. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. But God embraced us with mercy and love. The word of God for the people of God.
Great job with that scripture reading, wasn't it? Thank you. Well, thank you all for your generosity and your kindness and all of your hospitality. This is kind of a bookend Sunday for me. 12 years ago, when Marcia and I were assigned to come back home to Indiana and serve, so I could serve as bishop here, the first church in which I preached on a Sunday morning was St. Luke's Church. Kent Millard invited me. And now, 12 years later, the last Sunday as an active bishop, back at St. Luke's, Rob Fuquay has invited me. And it feels like bookends around a lot of gratitude and welcome and graciousness and caring that Marcia and I receive. This is really our home base. Marcia is a member here, and although we clergy are not officially members of local churches, this is where I come to worship with her when I've been in town and not doing bishop things, as you said. So this has been our home base, and you've been so gracious. In fact, I realized the Bible was given to me by you as a church. You may not know this, but 12 years ago when I preached here on that Sunday morning, we were still in the midst of trying to unpack boxes, and I couldn't find the Bible I normally like to carry with me on Sunday mornings, and I borrowed a Bible out of the pew rack that morning for preaching. Well, Don Griffith realized I needed a Bible, so he presented me this Bible the next day to say, here, don't be without a Bible, Bishop. So even the Bible I have is a gift from all of you. And among other things, these past 12 years has been the time frame when Marcia and I have lost all four of our parents. And you as a church have been so kind to us during those times of grief. And we just feel blessed to be a part of you. So thank you. And thank you for the donation to the Discipleship Center's campaign. The way that happened was about a year and a half ago, conference leaders came to me and they said, we'd like to do something to honor your legacy. We'd like to have some kind of a fund drive. Because, you know, as Methodists, you either eat or you give an offering. That's how you thank people. And so right away I said, well, I really believe in the ministries we have at our 7 campgrounds in Indiana and the retreat ministries especially we have there. I'd like us to replace that old, really worn out auditorium in Epworth Forest where I, 50 years ago, responded to a call to ministry. But that old wooden building, no heating, no air conditioning, no indoor plumbing, no restrooms. I mean, it's outlived its time. And then there were other needs around, and so we conducted a feasibility study, and just a few months ago, it was June of last year, the conference approved a campaign. $6 million to build the building you see on the screen, and then additional victory goals, we thought maybe as much as $9 million to do a bunch of other projects too. Well, in a little over a year, because of generosity of United Methodists across the state like all of you, we've raised $8.8 million toward that $9 million ultimate goal, and your gifts will help us move on. And it's not the buildings. For me, it's the places where God changes lives, because that's where God changed my life and called me into ordained ministry those many years ago. So thank you for your generosity. I'm also very pleased that my successor, Bishop Julius Trimble, his welcome service to Indiana will be held here at your church on September 11th, I think, Sunday, September 11th at 4 p.m. That'll be the service when Bishop Trimble will be welcomed to Indiana. He's a good friend of mine. He's been a bishop for 8 years serving in Iowa Conference. He's originally from Chicago. And he and his wife are starting to move in and unpack, and they'll be here to be welcomed by hopefully lots of Indiana United Methodists on September 11th. And maybe I'll make sure he's got a Bible to use that day. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, as always, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, you are the one who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when Rob asked me to preach today as a part of your grammar service, for going back to school, I guess, he gave me the word but. Now, he was quick to say it's B-U-T, not two T's. And I immediately thought, oh dear, I have to apologize to Mrs. Simmons. Mrs. Simmons was my senior composition teacher in high school. She was one of those teachers I look back and think how much she really blessed my life as a teacher. Because she taught me not only how to write, but she taught me to love writing. How to put sentences together and paragraphs. And so I still write. I write epistles that I send out every week. I've written several books. And Mrs. Simmons would be horrified that the title of my sermon is But God. Because she taught me you don't end a sentence with a preposition like we do in Indiana. Where are you at? And she taught me you don't begin a sentence, and certainly not a title, with a conjunction like but. But the gospel message, simply put, is the world is a mess, our lives are off track, we get lost, but God embraces us with love and grace and offers us a new direction. I mean, simply put, that's the gospel news, isn't it? The world is a mess. People are lost and off track, but God has the final answer, and God wants to embrace us with God's love and grace and transformation. Now, I probably don't have to convince you the first part of that statement's true, that the world is a mess. It's not hard to convince you of that, is it? I mean, you read the newspaper, you watch TV, you look at the blogs and all the media. I don't know whether the world is more of a mess or it's just we hear about it sooner. But the world's a mess. There's conflict, there's heartache, there's natural disasters going on, all kinds of things. And what's more, people are lost. People have lost their way, their direction in life. I don't like to blame people outside the church and talk about unchurched people or people aren't saved, because it's all of us that lose our direction from time to time, and we all get lost from being on God's pathway. Now, the Bible has a word for that we don't use a lot in our grammar. It's the word sin. Sin singular. Oh yeah, the Bible has lists of sins, little sins, plural, but those are just illustrations for us of the big concern, which is sin, which means simply being separated from God, being off track with God. In fact, it's a sign of our being off track with God that we sometimes, in the name of religion, draw up these little lists of little sins that other people do. Have you noticed that? When anybody ever has a laundry list of bad things, it's always what somebody else is doing. But the honest truth is, the Bible says, we're all in the same boat. Did you hear that in the scripture reading? We're all in the same boat. We have all, from time to time, lived our lives separated from God's best intention. But God embraces us with love and mercy and gets us back on track, reconnected, embraced by God's love, and transformed into the persons God calls us to be. Bishop Trimble, who's succeeding me in Indiana, is a great guy. He was out a few weeks ago to meet the cabinet and the conference staff, and in that meeting, he shared with us his personal mission statement. It's a great one. His personal mission statement is to encourage everyone to live to their highest and best person in Jesus Christ. I love that. It's to encourage everyone, not just Methodists, not just church people, but to encourage everyone to live to their highest and best person that they can be in Christ. That's the message of the gospel. The world's a mess. Sin is real. We get off course. But God embraces us and helps us to become the highest and best persons we can be in Jesus Christ. Now, as I've tried to, in my own mind, picture how does God do that? How does God help us intervene with a messy world and messy lives and offer us the but God good news? And I've thought of three images that the Bible does that. One is the image of course correction. that for a lot of us, it's not about some huge major thing, but it's more about we get off track a little bit. And we need to be a little course correction to get back on track. In fact, maybe Sunday morning worship. Maybe the best thing about Sunday morning worship is it's course correction. Sometimes just a little bit. But being back and on track makes a huge difference in the long run. Do you remember Apollo 13? Or maybe you remember the movie Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is always good in movies, right? Apollo 13 was kind of the overlooked moon mission. Apollo 11, Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon. Apollo 12. Apollo 13, nobody paid much attention to until they had an explosion on their spacecraft. And people wondered, would they ever make it back safely? And the strategy was to go ahead and go to the moon and not land, but loop around the moon and let gravity slingshot them back to the Earth. And in the movie and in real life, I remember it happening. When they did that, when they came around the moon to head back to Earth, the NASA engineers and scientists, using their slide rulers, anybody old enough to remember a slide ruler? A few of you will admit it. When I saw that movie in the theater with my kids, they both said to me, "Dad, what is that?" I said, "Well, that's a slide ruler. That's how we used to calculate things, because the computers, I've been told this, the computers NASA had at the time, none of their computers were as powerful as the computers we all have on our phones. So they calculated and they found the spacecraft was off course 3 degrees. That doesn't sound like much, 3 degrees. But when you travel that far, 3 degrees meant they were going to miss the Earth coming home. And they had to course correct, and they couldn't overcorrect because then they'd slam into the Earth. And in the dramatic scene of the movie, Tom Hanks manually has to eyeball the Earth and correct their course lest they miss totally. Well, I think one of the ways that God intervenes in our lives to transform us and offers us a "but God" answer is God says, let's get back on track. Because just a little bit of deviation now can have tragic results later. Let's course correct. A second way that I picture God intervening in our lives is what I'd call a reboot. Or as my engineer daughter and engineer son-in-law say to me when I have computer problems, they say to me, "Dad, turn it off and turn it back on and that'll restart it and it'll reboot and it'll be fine." And I always say to these engineer brilliant kids, "Why does that work?" And you know what they say? "Nobody really knows." I heard a comedian recently talk about trying to hook up his new computer to his printer, and his computer kept saying to him, "Can't find the printer." So he would type on the keyboard, "It's right there next to you." And he even turned the computer screen so it could see the printer. Now those seemed like pretty good answers, but when he called the IT, they had an even sillier answer. "We'll turn it off and back on, and it'll work. Reboot." There are times in our lives when, at least with some part of our life, we need to reboot. We need to start over. And so discipleship centers, retreat centers, church camps, Emmaus walks, all those kinds of experiences are a chance to step back from life for a minute and kind of start over with God and say, "Oh God, help me get started again." You remember Jesus told a wonderful parable about a religious person who was all concerned about the sins of other people, who came in the temple and said, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, not like this tax collector over here." But meanwhile, the tax collector knelt down and simply said, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "Which one do you think went home that day forgiven?" Well, it's obviously the one who was ready for a reboot, starting over with God. Third way I picture that whole process happening is simply God wooing us with God's love. There's another word we don't use a lot, woo. But throughout the Bible, one of the images that constantly of God is the intimate lover of our souls. The one who embraces us, says Ephesians, with love and mercy. Or if you really want to get intimate, read the Song of Solomon in the Old Testament. Wow. That's pretty racy stuff, and it's all about the imagery that God is the ultimate lover of our souls, and God's always wanting to embrace us with love, to woo us back into relationship with God, to get our lives together again. Well, however you want to picture that happening, I believe that the message of the gospel is, yeah, the world's a mess, and yeah, our lives get off track, and we all get lost from time to time, but God has the final answer. And the final answer is God embraces us with God's love and mercy. So I want to tell you a couple but God stories this morning. I think we've got time. Oh, I'm retiring. What does it matter? We have time. These are stories that have happened during my 12 years as your bishop in India, and I could tell you lots of stories. I won't do all of them because I have just seen amazing examples of but God at work. This first story is about a new pastor we sent to a church and the lay leader of that church, two guys who instantly did not get along. I personally think they're just too much alike. They have matching personalities. They just couldn't get along. And it got to be ugly over the 3 years the pastor was there. I mean, it got to be really ugly. The lay leader, when I talked to him about it, he said to me, I don't know what it is about that pastor, he said, but when I see him walking down the hall of the church, I just want to go punch him in the nose. Which, Sarah, is not a good job for the lay leader of the church. Most days, anyway. And the pastor said to me, I just can't stand that guy. I just wish he'd leave our church. And it got so bad that finally the pastor said, I better leave. And we appointed him to another church. And it seemed like it was over, you know? Broken relationship, lack of forgiveness and trust, and it was hurtful to the church. But God wasn't finished. 5 years later, unknown to each other, those two guys each signed up for the same Emmaus walk at Epworth Forest, a men's retreat, spiritual retreat. And each one of them told me the same thing. When I got there and saw he was there, I almost left, but then I decided he's not going to keep me from attending this thing. So they both stayed, and God really has a sense of humor. They were assigned to the same table group, the same small group. And they had to spend the whole weekend, Thursday night to Sunday night, together. And for the first time, really getting to know each other, listening to each other, praying for each other as they did in small groups. And the other men who were at that Emmaus Walk retreat have told me one of the most moving parts of that weekend was the communion service at the end, where those two guys came forward in the chapel up at Epworth Forest and knelt next to each other and put their arms around each other to receive the bread and the cup. Now, both of them later said to me the same thing. They said, I'm not still sure I really like that guy, but I learned that he's my brother in Christ. It was a broken relationship, but God wants to embrace us and lead us into healing and forgiveness. But God. The second but God story I had planned to tell you, I've got to update it, unfortunately, this week after the tornadoes in Kokomo. I wanted to tell you about Kokomo Urban Outreach. It's one of our United Methodist ministries. It started several years ago when Pastor Jeff Newton came to me and asked to be appointed back to his hometown of Kokomo because he felt called to go home and try to offer ministry in that community, which was so devastated by the auto industry and all their other problems. And I said, well, Jeff, you know, going back there to serve a little part-time church so you can do ministry, that's not much of a career move. You're serving one of our larger churches, doing well, you're on a track. And he said, no, I feel called to do this. So we all prayed about it, and the cabinet and I appointed him to Trinity United Methodist Church in Kokomo, a little church that's dwindled down to not many people at the time. And when he got there, he gathered them together in his office with a space heater because they couldn't afford to turn on the boiler to heat the building. And he said, I don't believe God is finished with us. What do you think? And they said, we don't think so either. So they said, we don't know what to do. And he said, well, let's talk about what's our mission. And they adopted a mission statement that night, not very fancy, but it was love God and love people and nothing else matters. And then they said, well, who should we love? And they looked across the street, and here's this big apartment complex, the one that was blown away by the tornado this week. And they said, there's lots of poor people there. There's lots of children there. There's people that lives seem to be a mess. We need to love them. Well, how do we love them? Well, they said the one thing we know how to do is church suppers. Let's have a free supper Sunday night, and let's invite them all to come. They said, well, do we have resources? And the church treasurer said, well, we're down to $30 in the checking book for the church. And somebody else said, well, that'll buy a lot of hot dogs. So they bought hot dogs, they brought dishes to pitch in, they went door to door, invited their friends, new friends, in the apartment complex, particularly children, to come, and Sunday night they had a crowd turned up. And they fed them, and they all kind of laughed about one little kid who ate 5 hot dogs. And then they realized it was the first meal he'd had since Friday school lunch. And they said, "That's not right. It's not right. We got to feed the children in this town where we live." And so they formed what they call Kokomo Urban Outreach, one of our ministries. They partnered with other churches, other denominations, other businesses. And in the intervening years, they have fed 9 million meals in Kokomo. And a lot of it to children. And Marcia and I have been there. It's amazing. They don't just feed the children. They bring them in. They seat them at tables with tablecloths and plates and dishes. They sit with them, teach them table manners. And they encourage them to stay in school. And they offer tutoring programs for them. And they begin to talk to them and say, "Have you thought about where you want to go to college after you graduate?" Well, these are kids nobody's ever told them they had a future. But they've done this amazing ministry, and it was my example for you of, but God, here's the little church that's now up to 75 or 100 people, but they have incredible ministry. And then Wednesday night, the church was hit by the tornado in Kokomo. The apartment complex across the street was virtually devastated. So I called Jeff, Pastor Jeff, to say, "I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you." Well, he was the one that encouraged me. Because here's what he said to me. He said, "Well, Bishop, it's been really rough." And he said, "But God is already at work. And people have come from all over, people we don't even know, to help us clean up. People have brought food to us so we can feed other people." And he said, "I just think we're going to come out of this with even more ministry than we had before. It's a mess," he said, "but God is at work." Do you believe that? That's the good news of the gospel. That's the gospel truth. The world can be a mess at times. We can be lost. We can be off track from God at times. But God has the final say. And God embraces us with love and grace. And I'll just make an ad. If you want to help them out, go online, Kokomo Urban Outreach. You can donate online even for them. But it's an amazing story of what God is doing. And there's stories like that all over Indiana. Many of those stories are out of this congregation and what you do in ministry. But I just am here to testify to you. Yeah, it's true. The world can be a mess. Yeah, it's true. All of us get off course and get a little bit lost and off direction. But God embraces us with love and grace and transforms us to be the highest and best person we can be in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.